All right. How many need a paper from last week? How many need a paper from last week? Hold your hand up. And then I got a paper for everybody tonight, but I want to make sure you have one from last week, okay? Hold your hand up high there so they can take good care of you. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to get very plain tonight on a couple of things. It's very necessary, and I want everyone to be very open and to some comments, open to the Word of God. And Paul tells us later over in Ephesians, having done all to stand, we must stand upon the truth of God. We must stand upon the Word of God without fear nor favor. And I want everybody to understand, if I speak about something or someone doing this or that, we're not against people. We're against wrong and error and false doctrine and sin and evil. Everybody understand that? But sometimes people are included in that, and you must be warned. I'll give you a good example. If there's somebody in your community, and I know who it is, and I know that they're going to come into your house and steal your stuff and molest your kids and slap your wife or your husband, and I know that, would you want me to tell you? Yes. Of course you would. And it's the same way with the Bible. If I know something that's being taught or whatever, then it's my duty to tell you, to be warned, and what you do with that after that's your business, but I need to warn you. You know, that a lot of times we're like that little kid, you know, the stove's hot, and we tell the kids, and that stove's hot, don't touch it, and they'll go touch it anyway. But all you do is tell them not to touch it, right? Do their best to keep from it. Got some hands up front here, several hands up front. Are you out of papers? Plenty of papers? All right. We'll be looking at the one that should at the top say Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. That'll be the one we'll start with tonight. Then you'll have one that'll say Reformed Theology on it as well. But what we're going to look at tonight is one that says Ephesians 1, 4 through 7 is where we're going to start at. Is everybody okay? Everybody still all right? Hold your hand up if you ain't got to care. All right. There's no easy way to do this, so we just make sure everybody's done. All right. All right, well, let's pray together, and then we'll get started. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're at, all right? Father, we come tonight, and Lord, we sure do thank you for the songs already. Thank you for the video of the young people in Burma. Thank you for Bob and Boyd just over there. I ask you to bless them, encourage them, use them mightily for you. There'd be many souls come to you, that the Lamb that was slain may receive glory for his suffering. Father, I ask you to help us tonight, help our kids downstairs, help them as they're being taught the Word of God, help us to make sure we teach them correctly. Not the way we want, but the way your book tells us to do. Lord, help me to teach us upstairs. Lord, I pray tonight that we might show simply the Word of God, that you might get all glory. Help me to magnify your name tonight. Cleanse me from anything that be hurtful or hindrance. Lord, may you give me power, wisdom. Touch me fresh, I pray, with the Holy Spirit. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Ephesians chapter 1, let's read a little bit of scripture here. Let's read down through verse 8. All right, down through verse 8, and then we'll go back, all right, and teach a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, we went a little, one verse further than what we have on the paper, but we're going to go, we'll go back to several times, all right? When we think about Ephesians, and we've told you many times, now Ephesians, Colossians go together. It is a prison epistle. And Paul is writing this because of false doctrine that always trickles in. Anywhere there is truth, then the enemy always has an untruth comes with it. So he addressed some things to the church of Colossae, and he addressed some things here in the church of Ephesus as well. And he's wanting to make sure that God gets all the glory and that we understand some things. Now, I want you to understand this. There's some words we looked at, vitally important to what we believe and how we believe. And then words are foreknowledge and elect and predestined. And them words are so important because of the false teaching that has been in our area for many years. And it's not just in our area, it's all over the country. But we've had it in our area. And it has confused people. And it has even made people give up on God to where they have believed that they can't even be saved. Cindy Brown is one of them. Cindy Brown was taught some things, and you know, she wouldn't come to the Lord for years and years because of what she was taught, because they told her she wasn't one of the elect. She couldn't be saved. It wasn't for her. It was for everybody else, but not her. And the devil had slicked her in that. And I want you to understand that this is vitally important that you learn what we're teaching now. This is vitally important. Now, if you believe contrary to what I'm teaching, then I want to help you. We're not teaching you a personal belief. We're teaching you a Bible doctrine. All right, not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine, which it happens to be a Baptist doctrine as well, but it's a Bible doctrine. It's what we're wanting everybody to see. Are we okay? Now, last week, we looked at some things, very simple. We looked at the words foreknowledge, elect, and predestined. They're on your paper. Look at it there. And then we started looking at the knowledge of God. And down toward the bottom, the third paragraph from the bottom, we looked at man's sin did not bring salvation. Now, I want to start there before we get to this these other things. I want you to understand that man's sin, salvation, was not a result of man's sin. That God already had salvation planned before there was man. Everybody understand that? So it's not God made a mistake and now I've got to fix it. All right, God had it all laid out that salvation is here. And God does not know all. Listen to me now. God does not know all. He is all-knowing. There's a difference. He does not know all because that would just be as things come up, he knows it. He's all-knowing. He knows it before, during, and after. He knows it before it's ever happened, while it's happening, and what's going to happen. He's greater than knowing all. He's all-knowing. Everybody understand? And that's what we looked at last week about how great he is and knowing all about knowing that we would fail yet save us. Knowing that we would cause him problems but yet love us anyway to make a way. Knowing all that before anything, before a star was made in God's mind, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Word, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost of God, all together. It was the plan of God that God would put on a robe of flesh, come down and die for the creation, buried, rise again, and save those that would believe. Okay? Think about that. Knowing us anyway. To me, that just blows my mind. And we looked at them scriptures. Now, so we look here at the second paragraph from the bottom and say we see plainly that foreknowledge and predestination, as we looked in the scripture and we looked at these other scriptures, are used as God's plan in how we are saved and the things that's for us after we're saved, but it's not for who's going to be saved. Did everybody understand that? It's the predestined foreknowledge of God was set in stone on how man was going to be saved. Then it was set in stone, predestined foreknowledge of God on what we would become after we are saved. And though He knows, because He's all-knowing, we are not predestined to be saved or to be lost. But if we are saved and will be saved, then we are predestined to become a certain way, that we will be conformed into His image. But it's for whosoever will, let him come. And we want to make sure everybody understands that. Now, you say, well, why? You seem really adamant about it. I can't be dogmatic enough. I can't be more adamant, okay? If I could, I would, to tell you that the damnable doctrine of a limited atonement is a scare tactic of a devil to keep people from trusting Christ. How sincere people are matters not. How good people are matters not. But it's not the Word of God. Is everybody still with me? Now, this lie from Calvinism and Reformed doctrine, Reformed theology, teaches what is called limited atonement. But the Scripture says different. All right? So let's look at some Scripture tonight. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, you need to mark these in your Bible. It's okay to mark in your Bible. Now, don't scribble and draw faces, but I mean, you ought to mark verses in your Bible. We're not talking about doodling. We're talking about marking your Bible that it might be your tool, okay? The 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to listen to what Paul is writing here. Now, Paul says here in verse 10, he said, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." Now, look what it says. Who is the Savior of who? And how many men?
All
men. Well, you'll say, well, everybody ain't saved. That's true. But He's still the Savior of all men. But look what it says next. Especially of those that believe. He's the Savior for everybody. And those that will believe, He becomes their personal Savior. But can I tell you tonight, with joy in my heart, that He is the Savior, whether anybody believes or not, He's the Savior. He's God who died for me. Whether anybody believes it, that don't change it. He suffered and bled and died, whether anybody believes it or not. Think about that. He done that we might come to Christ. Ain't that most wonderful? Look at Isaiah, and we'll look at this verse again, maybe tonight, if not next week. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, let's look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Now this, as Isaiah, this is a prophecy, an account of Christ. This is who he's talking about, is Jesus Christ here. Look at verse 6. All we, that's us, all we, how many is all we? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone. How many is everyone? We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ain't that what it said? So when Christ died, everybody's iniquity was laid on him. Everybody's. Not just some. Now, people say, yeah, but if it was, then everybody would be, no. To many has received him, to them gave he power to become of God. You got to believe. You got to receive. You got to take Christ. Huh? You got to repent. You got to turn from what you're believing and turn to Christ. Huh? That's what you got to do. Think about that. This is exciting. Look at 1 John chapter 2. And we'll use this one later on as well. But look at 1 John chapter 2. Everybody okay? Let's just read 1 and 2. It's the most wonderful scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ righteous." Ain't that most wonderful? Huh? Now, the Lord don't want us to do wrong. He don't want us to sin. But if we do, He ain't going to pitch us over, chuck us over in the hell. How are you listening to me? He said, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And look what verse 2 then says. "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only," not for those just the little children, not for us who are a child of God, "but also for the sins of" who? How much of the world? The whole thing. Ain't that wonderful? Huh? Now, how can you get any plainer than that? Huh? How about we go to John 3:16? Anybody know that? John 3:16. You ever read that in there before? John 3:16. We heard a lesson on a Sunday morning, Sunday school. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that" what? "Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, you know how who whosoever is? That's anybody, everybody at will. All right? That's whosoever. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Am I going too fast? Talk to me if I'm going too fast. All right, Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. It says, "Come unto me," how many?
All.
"Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." How about 2 Peter? And this is where we started at. I think we may have preached a message on this other Sunday. Anybody remember? Anybody remember Sunday's message? Wasn't it Sunday? Was it Sunday? Have we preached out of 2 Peter chapter 3? Was it Sunday? Anybody remember? Anybody remember the little word we used? Huh? Long suffering, right. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." He's not going to come up slack on His word, on His promise. He ain't going to come up short. As some men count slackness. "But He's long-suffering, testament. Not willing that" what? "That any should perish." You know, it says over in Ezekiel that the Lord don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, it'll tell us plainly in Psalms that He's angry with the sinner. He's angry with unbelievers. Yes, He is. Because He made a way and they rejected Him. But He still don't want to see him die. Everybody understand that? He made hell for the devil and his angels. And because of man's rebellion and rejection, hell hath enlarged itself. But that ain't why it was made. He didn't want nobody to go there. And people say, well, if He didn't want it, then he could do a lot of things. But that's not what He planned. Huh? If everybody wants to get sick on this predestination and foreknowledge, then the predestination was God made a plan. He can't go back on His word. He made a plan that I'm going to die for the creation, and they're going to bury me. I'm going to rise again the third day, and I'm going to wash clean anybody that will come to me and let me do it. Huh? And that's His plan. And He'll take big ones, little ones, smart ones, dumb ones, fat ones, skinny ones, dirty ones, ones that think they're clean. He'll find dirt that they don't know they got. And He'll clean every one of them. That's just how great He is. Huh? He said, "But not willing that any should perish." But look here, it was 2 and verse 9. What did that last say? "But that all should come." All. Oh, and I have problems with people. I mean, I get it gets on my short nerve. It does when they try to tell me it all don't mean all. When they try to tell me it all means a few. No, a few actually is eight. Because the Bible says that a few, even as eight souls, were saved on the ark. If you want to know how many a few is, I reckon eight's a few. But there's a big difference between a few and all. Huh? There's a big difference. I mean, it's just like a pie. Somebody says, you want a piece of pie? Well, I'll settle for a piece of pie, but I'd rather have the pie. Give me a spoon in the pie. Not a fork, just give me a spoon in the pie. Why cut a pie? Because I want all the pie. Right? There's a difference between a piece of it and all of it. We okay with that? Now, let's look at the back side of that paper just for a minute. Now, I want to be very plain here, and there's some names mentioned, and that's just the way it is. But I want everybody to understand there's some churches in our area you need to stay away from. There's some churches in our area you need to stay away from. All right? Mount Gilead Baptist at Poole. Landmark Baptist at Stringtown Road. Glade Creek Missionary Baptist, and a lot of people don't even know they was a Baptist church at Glade Creek. Yeah? All right. New Testament Baptist at Levesey. I don't know if they're having church there anymore or not. Lookout Baptist Church at Lookout. Beauty Mountain Baptist Church at Edmond. Ames Bible Church over at Ames Heights. Beacon Baptist down there at Anstead. That's when you get to where old Dairy Queen was. Usually any church you see, it says Sovereign Grace. All right? Everybody understand? Up Fenwick used to be, I don't have it on there, Riverside Baptist up Fenwick. All right? These were all Calvinist churches that preached predestination and limited atonement. Now, if they're still having church or not, I'm not sure. I don't know what all they're teaching, but I know that's what they're noted for. That's the doctrine that they taught for years. Now, none of them started that way. But they was wolves that come in. There was wolves that come into church and started the false doctrine in this area. So Mount Gilead Church is a parish church out of Mount Pleasant Church at Mount Lookout. All right? It was started right. Is everybody okay? I know that hits home. And Jay Holliday, he's dead now. And Ray Woods, they was the big producers of it all. Jay Holliday in Nicholas County and Ray Wood in Fett County. These are men I knew personally. Nothing wrong, but we're friends. Not against the people, but I will stand against false doctrine. Everybody understand that? And you got to know that. Everybody understand that? They say, well, why do you seem like that? Well, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Let's see what Paul said. Let's see how serious Paul thought about it. Now, I'm not going to apologize, but I have a problem. If you're going to teach somebody that they can't be saved, I have a problem with that. If you're gonna teach somebody that they're gonna go to hell, and the funny thing is, all the ones that preach it, all their kids are always saved. It's everybody in the congregation that's gonna go to hell, but their kids ain't the one. I don't know why anybody don't wake up and pay attention. Okay, somewhere you gotta stand and say that ain't right. Look at Galatians chapter 1. See what Paul thought about it. Verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Because that limited atonement and a predestined bunch going to heaven and some going to hell, that is another gospel. Which is not another. Because there ain't but one gospel. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's pretty plain. Now, I'm not mad at nobody. Everybody understand that? But can I tell you, there's pressure when somebody stands and preaches against the things that we are around us. There's pressure up here. I don't know how it is you hearing it. I know how it is saying. Everybody all right? And I'm not saying it to be mean. All right? One of the men that I mentioned a while ago plowed his garden every year for years. All right? But we can't worship together. Because it's another gospel. Do they understand me? I've ate dinner with one of the men. I've been to reunions and parties and everything else with one of the men. But I can't worship with them. And you ain't got no business neither. Okay? Now let's look at our new paper. Turn to the side there. It says Reformed Theology, Calvinism, and the Bible. All right? Now, the reason that I mention this Reformed Theology is because of what's going on around us. And there's some that some of that has been tried to come in here. All right? And it's not going to happen. Okay? It's not going to happen. Reformed theology, and because of them podcast things, and all these things that young men are listening to, has got their mind screwed up, and they're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. All right. Everybody understands that plain enough. Yeah. Reformed theology is a branch of Protestant Christianity. Everybody look at me. I am not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Christian Bible-believing Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. All the Protestants come out of the Catholic Church, and somewhere they'll have some of the furniture of the Catholic Church. Lutherans, Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterians, they'll all have some part somewhere. They'll have some furniture. It might not be but a dolly, but they'll have some piece of furniture out of the Catholic Church in their doctrine somewhere. Everybody understand that? Everybody listen to me. The Reformed theology is a branch of Protestant Christianity that emerged during the Protestant Reformation, emphasizing God's sovereignty and the authority of the Bible. Well, I'm all for, everybody understand it, I'm all for God is sovereign. He is. Yes, He is. And the authority of the Bible, there ain't but one. And I believe that. All right? But you got to pay attention to what you say is in it. Calvinism is a major branch of Protestantism based on the theology of 16th century reformer John Calvin. In emphasizing God's sovereignty in all things, particularly salvation. Now, let's go back. If God is not sovereign, He's not God. If He don't know everything, He's not God. If He can't do everything, He's not God. And if He can't be everywhere at one time, He's not God. But because He is God, He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He's not mighty, He's almighty. He's not powerful, He's all powerful. Huh? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once, all the time. He's everywhere at once, all the time. He lives in me. Do you leave anybody else in here? Anybody else? Some of y'all, yeah, if you don't live in you, I invite you to come to Christ tonight. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once, all the time. And then He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He don't just know all. He's all knowing. He nothing ever occurs to him. Nothing's only. Whoa, I took it. He never has an idea because he already knows. He don't have an idea. He's got a plan, huh? Ain't that wonderful? It means you're in it. We still okay? Now, Reformed theology hold to the five solas of Reformation. Now that's Latin. Okay? That's Latin. I'm pretty sure it's Latin. Alright? It ain't Higgany. And people will get messed up because there's some truth. You know what kills a rat? Brother Rick tells us all the time, but son, you know what kills a rat when you poison him? It's not the 98% cornmeal. The 98% cornmeal will make you a fat rat. But that 2% of poison kills him. So there can be a lot of truth. But if there's a lie in there, the lie is damnable. Everybody understand that? Common sense. But let's look here. Sola Scriptura. Scriptura. Scripture alone. The Bible is the sole infallible source of religious authority for the church. Amen. Yeah. True. I believe that. You believe that? Yeah. I believe that. You believe that, Brother Rick? I believe the Bible's true. The soul. I don't believe in nothing. I believe the King James Bible right here. Solus Christus. Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and humanity and the only one through whom salvation is possible. True. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I believe it. Sola gratia. I'm not much on Latin. Grace alone. Well, amen. Salvation is a free gift from God, not something earned by human merit or works. Amen. It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, fide. Faith alone. Salvation is received by faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by faith and good works. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. I believe that. And sola de gloria, and it's to God alone be the glory. We're not saved for the glory of man. We're saved for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. All glory, honor, and praise belong to God alone. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all true. Correct? All right? And that sounds good and true, but that's not all. See, they add Calvinism with this Reformed theology. And with this Calvinism comes what we even term around here hyper-Calvinism. And it's false doctrine. Now look on the back of your paper. On the back of your paper now is the 5 points of Calvinism, and they use acronym the TULIP. Alright? They use the TULIP, the word TULIP, as an acronym to show you. Alright? Total depravity. Total depravity. You ever hear that word? Total depravity. Humans are spiritually dead and incapable of choosing God apart from His grace because of sin affecting every part of them. That's false. We're deprived, but we're not totally deprived. Every sinner is deprived. But he's not totally deprived. Scripture teaches contrary to that. Unconditional election to you. Unconditional election. That's God sovereignly chooses whom to be saved based on His will, not on any foreseen merited individuals. Now, that's false. That is false. That is not true. Now, it may be true that He don't see no merit in us the way we are, but He don't see how we are. He sees me how I'm going to be. after he saves me? Are we still okay? But he don't sovereignly choose to start with. All right? So this is important stuff tonight. This is the vital part of salvation. And we better understand. Then L and Tulip is for limited atonement. That Christ's death was specifically for the elect, guaranteeing their salvation. Well, that's false. Because Christ's atonement was for everybody. It wasn't for just a few. I mean, it's not even moral. Huh? To raise your kids. Me and Cheryl raising the kids. Well, Marcus, you're going to hell. Philip, you can go to heaven. Marcus, you ain't one of the elect. So we're going to drag you to church, and you're going to go by all the rules, and you're going to read your Bible, and you're going to pray, but you don't get to go to heaven. Is that not the dumbest thing you ever heard? Huh? Seriously. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but it gets in my sore spot. I'm sorry. It has. I have fought this myself for over 40 years. Huh? For over 40 years, I've had to stand against this and preach against this. And then ever so often, it makes a circle and tries to slip back in. Ever so often, here it comes. And it's a damnable doctrine. Amen, preacher. Total depravity, false. Unconditional election, false. Limited atonement, false. Irresistible grace. Huh? God's grace effectively draws those He has chosen to salvation, and they cannot ultimately resist it. Well, I know that's not true. Because in 1973, I sat on the front bench and rejected Christ. Stood in tears as God convicted my heart of my sin and told me that I was lost and warned me, invited me to come to Him, and I blatantly said no. Huh? People say, well, it didn't happen. Well, I know it did. I was there. I had the battle raging. But after a few Sundays, man, I couldn't take it no more. And my daddy preached, and he preached the gospel of Christ. And I come forward, and nobody prayed over me. And nobody grabbed their Bible and said, read this and do that. I come because I knew I was lost, and I come to Christ. And He saved me. He saved me completely for time and eternity. Hallelujah tonight. And I did resist Him. Now, I know some of you, I've seen you saved. You resisted Him. I've watched you resist Him. I've watched you hang your head and cry your tears. I've watched you go out shaking. I've watched them turn white in the pews where their hands squeezed them in. Don't tell me there's an irresistible grace. That's foolishness. Huh? I've done watched them run out of the church. I've done watched them run to the cars and try to start their cars. I've done went to the parking lot, have other preachers give the invitation and go to the parking lot and beg them to Christ in their car, and their cars won't start. And they weep and couldn't come to Christ. No, it wasn't that they couldn't come, they wouldn't come. Huh? Are you listening to me? I've watched it. And then I've also watched them run during the preaching, before the preaching's ever over. I'll never forget holding revival down at Miller Baptist, down across from Brother Rick's house years ago. Man, I was preaching on hell. And as I was preaching, he stood up and screamed and held his hand over and said, oh, no, I don't want to go to hell like Canaan. I finally run to the communion table and said, somebody help me. I'm going to hell. Somebody help me. And he got saved. Huh? Listen to me. There's no such thing as irresistible grace. It's false. Now listen to this other statement. Now listen carefully now. The perseverance of the saints. The true believers will endure in faith until the end. That's false. preserved by God's power is true. Now this is their statement. Every believer is preserved by God's power. Every believer is eternally secure in Christ Jesus. If you get saved, you can't ever be lost again. You cannot. But you don't persevere to get there. That's a lie. Persevere is that you're doing something to stay saved. And there is no perseverance of the saints. There's a preservation of the saints. That's a vast difference. Does anybody understand me tonight? You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's what the Bible says. You can't be saved and lost. It's like getting unpregnant. You don't just think yourself not pregnant. It don't work that way. Are you listening to me? Hear me. He gives one life. That's eternal life. He that believes on the Lord gets eternal life. And you're saved for time and eternity because it don't amount to what you do. It amounts to what He done. And you by faith receive what He done. And the work that He does inside of our old filthy heart, He cleans it and makes it a fit place to reside. And the Holy God comes in and lives in our heart for time and eternity, takes it to be with Him. Hallelujah tonight. And He saves you forever. Amen. Wonderful. And you say, well, but I do wrong. Yeah, and you'll do wrong tomorrow. And you've done wrong today. And you've done wrong yesterday. And you'll do wrong next year. Huh? But your salvation ain't in you. It's in Christ. All right? That's what the Bible says. Now, I want to drop down to the bottom of the page because I'm going to run out of time before we read all this scripture. But here's who you don't need to be listening to. You don't need to be reading and listening after John MacArthur. He died here a while back, and that's okay. But you don't need to be listening to John MacArthur. You don't need to read his books. You don't need to listen to his pod things. You don't need to be listening to his Facebook or his YouTube or anything else. John Piper. He may be a nice, soft-spoken guy, maybe have some good devotion books, but you ain't got no business reading his stuff. 98% cornmeal might get you fat, but 2% will poison you. 2% of poison, 2% of arsenic will kill you. R.C. Sproul, he's dead now. Presbyterian, that is famous for this Reformed theology. Presbyterian. Tim Keller. Al Mohler is a Southern Baptist. Paul Washer. A lot of people have listened to Paul Washer here lately. Huh? Heard him preach some hard salvation sermons. I've listened to it. Huh? Until he gets in, got down and started talking about the election and those that can't be saved. And all this. They go, be careful, be careful, be careful. You don't listen to Paul Washer. Huh? Bobby Bauckham, he just died here a couple weeks ago. Black guy. Seemed like one of the best guys you ever meet. Huh? I heard him preach a couple of nights on the home. I thought there was nothing like it. Thought it was the best I ever heard. Huh? Found out what he believes. Found out what he believes about the gospel and about election. No, no. No, I can't live off the 98% cornmeal. There's 2% arsenic in it. People say, well, that's hard. No, it ain't hard. It's just truthful. You say, well, I listen to them. Well, quit it. Stop it. Well, listen to your preacher. If you ain't going to let the preacher, then go where they're at. But don't bring the trash in here. The reason I know some of them try to come in, I found a MacArthur book downstairs in the kitchen. Belongs to you, you ain't going to get it. I've done disposed of it. Just like any other mouse droppings that I find in the kitchen. Is that plain enough? Steve Lawson. You don't have to worry about him preaching now. He had a 20-year affair with a young girl. One of his assistants, and they don't play his stuff no more. Just in case you need to know. Sam Waldron, Sinclair Ferguson, All-Star Bag. He was real famous, doing real good. He was real famous here until he said it's okay for transgenders and homosexuals to be married. Then they said, you can't say that. We're going to get you. And they took him off YouTube. David Flatt, Mark Deaver, James White. He wrote a book, got one in there in my bookcase, about the King James controversy, where he's trying to, he's trying to deny the King James Bible, and wrote book after book, is a big debater about against the King James Bible. Don't listen to these people. You want to go fishing with them? Go fishing with them. We'll go golfing with them? Go golfing with them. We'll go out to eat? Go out and eat. But if they talk to you about the Scripture, stick your fingers in your ear. Everybody listen to me. Because it's wrong. Might as well go down here to the Kingdom Hall. Might as well go over here to the street to the Catholic Church. Wrong's wrong. Would you rather me kill you with a knife or a gun? You're going to be dead either way. Which would you prefer? Would you like me to beat you to death? Which would you be? Maybe I could strangle it easy. Maybe I'd slip in at night and put a string around your neck. Would that be okay? No, it's still wrong. Are we okay? And I am adamant. And I am dogmatic about it. And I do not think I know everything. But I know what this book says. All right? So let's see what the book says. We've got to read a couple of verses here real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We okay? If I made you mad, you'll get over it. Because I'm not sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Especially those that believe. Yeah. I don't need no other verse. That's enough. That's enough. But I'm going to go ahead and go back and read John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came into his own. And his own received you not. That's rejection. See, that wasn't predestined. That was his chosen people. They was his chosen people and they rejected him. Wait a minute. That's a controversy. Because the reforming theology and the Calvinism says that you're chosen. Well, they was chosen and rejected him. That don't make sense. I mean, that right there don't make no sense. His own received, but as many as received him. But as many is the same as whosoever will. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Huh? How about John chapter 12? We still okay? Y'all got this paper, and y'all can read it when you get home. Y'all look your scriptures up, and you mark them in your Bible. And then when somebody comes and tells you this way it is, you say, no, that ain't what the Bible says. John chapter 12. Look here at verse 45. It says, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So Jesus, people say, where does it say that Jesus says he's God? Well, he that seeth he that sent me. Right there he says. That's where Jesus said he's God. Okay? Verse 46. I am come, a light. I didn't come with a light. He said, I am come, a light. Into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected, wait a minute, he that rejected me, you can't reject. It's just irresistible grace, he said. You got to believe it. Are you listening to me? Yeah. But yet people suck it up. Because there's 98% cornmeal, and we'd rather be fat, it's truthful. Because it hurt somebody's feelings. Huh? Think about it. Are we still okay? Matthew chapter 10. I'm quitting. I'm not worried about y'all. I'm worried about them kids. They got to get home so they can play their video games and their phones. They won't go to bed. They got to play. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, whosoever, I love that word, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny, wait a minute, how can they deny an irresistible grace? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Huh? How about Proverbs 29:1? Huh? It ain't been that long ago. I preached on that one Sunday morning. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Looks to me like you can reject it. Looks to me like you can deny it. Looks to me like you can not do it. Looks to me like there's no such thing as irresistible grace. Looks to me like there's no such thing as the predestined elect. It's after. Listen, I'm predestined to be conformed to His image after I'm saved. I become an elect after I'm saved. Huh? The foreknowledge of God, saw me. He saw me clean when He reached down and saved me. He saw me clean. Think about that. Picked you up out of the sewer, your drunken breath and faced out mind and ruined life, and picked you up and He saw you clean because He knows what He could do inside of you. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for a word. I love You, and I love Your salvation, and I love that You let me teach it. And, oh God, give me boldness. Give me a backbone that never back up on it, God. Give me wisdom that I'll always understand it. Give me a memory that I'll never forget it. And write afar in my heart that it'll never, ever go out, and then it'll burn bright for You. In Jesus' name, amen.